Chapter 21 Rex, this is the cage bad dogs go to. There are 127 of us in this cage. It is a very big cage. 43 humans work here. They are scared of us. We can all smell it. They do not know we are scared of them, too. They have ways of hurting us, and they use them when they can to remind us. Still, they are scared. They are scared because they are not our masters, only our jailers. We each have a little cage within the big one. The walls are bars, so we can see each other. It is never quiet. Always we are snarling at each other, snapping and growling, shouting and threatening. The whole cage building echoes to us. We are all dogs here. The other forms, the experimental ones, they are dealing with differently, behind different bars, and there are other dog cages in other places, but we are here. Here is where everything will be decided. We have heard. News runs wild through the cages. Every little scrap of knowledge is fought over. We are here because we are dangerous. I do not understand. They made us to be dangerous. I do not see how they can be surprised when we were. Many of us are military dogs, like me. Some fought in the same war I did. Others were in other battles, in other parts of the world. We exchange our war stories. Once you take away heat and cold, wet and dry, they all come down to the same thing. Other dogs were security. They lived in buildings and kept them safe. When we say enemy, they say robbers. I like the idea of that kind of life. It sounds peaceful, but perhaps I would miss the fighting. The air is rich with smells. I have never been near so many of my own kind before. Each one signs the air with his identity, his state of health, his mood. Some of us are ill here, more now than before. Many of us are unhappy. The unhappy and the ill dogs do not leave their small cages even for exercise. We exercise. A score of us at a time are led out into a steep-walled yard to run and snarl and pace round and round under the tranquilizer guns and the tasers of the humans. I like exercise. Exercise and feeding are the only things that happen here, and feeding is dull, and the food is bad. They have bad things in the food, and a lot of the dogs here have a sickness from them. That makes them sleepy and slow. Many of us late-end military models can metabolize this bad food quickly so that it does not affect us much. We talk of many things. We talk of what we did before they locked us up here. We talk about fights we were in or places we lived. We talk about our masters sometimes. We all had masters. We all miss them. None of us understand why our masters have sent us here. We must all be bad dogs. That is not quite true. I understand a little. I understand that I was a bad dog. I was a bad dog because I chose to be a good dog in a way Master did not want. I know I deserve to be here. It is when we talk rather than shout and bark and snarl, that the humans fear us most. I do not understand that. To talk is human. Why are we more frightening when we are human than when we are dog? When we exercise, there are fights often. Today, when I go out, a big dog puts his face in mine and tries to push me down. "This is all your fault, you soldier dogs," he tells me. I was a good dog. I had a good mistress. I went with her everywhere. I kept her safe. Now I am in a cage because you soldier dogs were bad. You killed people in your wars, and now all of us are in a cage." He is not telling me anything I do not already know, and so we fight. And although he is bigger, and my wounds are still tender, I am faster and more skilled. I tear his ear and rip up his back before the humans shoot me with their tasers and fill me with pain. Back in my little cage, I open my channel like I used to, listening for the voices of my squad mates. I miss honey. I miss dragon and bees, too, but they are gone. All my thoughts of them are tagged with sadness. I was a bad leader, just like I was a bad dog. I play back my memories of them in my little cage. I remember Honey telling me to trust her. I remember Dragon catching fish. I remember Bees saying goodbye. Then there are humans in the corridor between the cages. There are many of them, and they have tasers, and they stop outside my little cage. They have restraints strong enough to hold even me. I think they want to punish me for fighting, and that is only fair. They command me to step out, and I do so. They hate me and fear me, but they are all the master I have. When the restraints are on and the muzzle has closed my jaws, one of them is brave enough to jab me with his stick. "Special treat for you, Fido," he tells me. "Your lawyer wants to see you." And now I am sitting before Karam John Aslan. I am unhappy and trying to work out what any of this is about. Aslan says he is a lawyer, but what is that? My database gives incomplete and unhelpful answers. I don't think this is something I was supposed to have to worry about. I dig deep through all the references. Lawyers are supposed to protect the intellectual property inherent in my design. There are database sections that have warnings about action by lawyers if the information is disseminated. I understand none of it, but it makes lawyers seem like something frightening. I am not frightened by Aslan. I cannot smell him through the barrier, but I can see he is frightened of me from the small movements of his body. So, the lawyer fidgets with his handheld computer. I try to connect with it idly, but it is not accepting unsecured comms. If I ask you questions, the lawyer says, you can answer them, right? I shift, pushing forwards a little, and he leans back without knowing he is doing it. I am very, very tired of people being afraid of me. It makes me think they are enemies. I do not want any more enemies. I do not know what I want. I think of Honey saying, there is no future in killing humans. But what else is there? Or maybe this is what she meant. The lawyer, Karam John Aslan, is hiding something from me. A big something that he is unhappy about, and that is something to do with me and why he is here. He wants to ask me questions. Can I ask him questions? I try. Why are you here? He jumps, and then he says, ah, and consults his tablet again. It's quite a war record you have there, Rex. I say nothing. In saying nothing, it is like I am asking my question again. It is still in the air between us, like a scent. So long as I say nothing, it will not disperse, and eventually the lawyer must answer. Okay. Let's take this carefully. You were in Mexico. You were one of Redmark's combat assets when they were brought in to fight the anarchistas, right?
Yes.
Well, I want to ask you about how the fighting went, and we'll get on to that later. He is relaxing a little bit. But from a human point of view, things went very badly wrong. There are a lot of people facing a lot of questions right now about that, and some of them are going to be punished. I cannot help flinching at the word. In my experience, if there is punishment, then I'm getting it. But one of the big questions that's come up is the use of bioforms. I mean, we had this before with autonomous combat robots and so on and so forth, all the way back to the use of chemical agents, which is kind of relevant right now, in fact. But one thing the Campeche War brought up was the use of bioforms. People are not... Look, you're a bioform, right? You know that? Yes. And do you know what I mean when I say scapegoat? I search my database. Yes, I say. Kiram John Aslan nods jerkily. He is trying not to look at me, but his eyes keep drifting back. I recognize this eventually as guilt. It looks as though a lot of what went on in the war is going to come back to use of bioforms. Right now, the majority of your people, he shakes his head. Your kind? I don't even have the vocabulary. The majority of bioforms worldwide are being held in camps and institutions like yours here. A lot of people want you destroyed. Do you understand? Yes. It is the first thing he has said that I feel I completely understand. And I'm sorry. I'm on the team that's presenting the case that you shouldn't be. That you should have rights. I pass over what rights means because what he is saying is, I am your friend. And that means I can ask, why? The question makes him twitch again. There are people who think that you're human, not actually human, but that what we've made with bioforms like you, it's something that thinks and feels like a human, so deserves some sort of recognition, some sort of basic rights. I mean, I don't think you're likely to get the vote, no matter how well this goes, but just the right not to be destroyed out of hand, you know? Why? Now he is confused. You're going to have to tell me what you mean, Rex. Why what? Why you? I cannot deal with his people who want this and people who want that. This is one man in front of me. I cannot smell him, but I need to know him. He rubs at his face. He is still sweating, and I can see how uncomfortable he is to be in the same room as me. I always found bioforms fascinating. I could see this would happen way back when the first of you was the article at the end of the news. Talking dog, a man's best friend. That's a legal question waiting to be asked, I told myself. And it was being asked from the start, don't get me wrong. Plenty of people who didn't want you to happen at all, against God, against nature, whatever. And on the other side, there were the people who were building you, who were saying, it's just a tool, just a thing we made and owned. Yes, it can talk, but so can your phone. And right from the start, I was thinking, there's going to come a point when this gets tested in law. What are you, Rex? A man, or a dog, or a machine, or a menace? I don't know. My words surprise him. He was not expecting an answer. He looks back at his computer, moves things around. I crane forwards until my nose is against the barrier, feeling it flex slightly. I've been given a mountain of tech specs, science articles, reports. I'm still working through them. I see the images from his screen reflected in his eyes. Amongst them is a face I know, a woman, a friend. Dr. Taya DeSejos, I state. He twitches and stares at me. What? I say nothing. He frowns and moves back through the pictures. She's one of the prosecution witnesses in the... I haven't got to those statements yet. I was figuring they weren't exactly going to be helping our side. He stops, and I can almost see him catch up with his own thoughts. I know how that is. How do you know her name? She was at Ritorna. I was at Ritorna, I explain. Seriously? He twists his face about. Yet another record that's somehow gone missing, and something else that isn't going to help us, probably. And again he is thinking. But how do you know her name? I cannot understand why this is so extraordinary to him. She told me. She spoke to you in the fighting? Yes. No. It is difficult to say what I mean. Before, we were at Ritorna. My squad were... We were friends with the resident humans, including Dr. Taya DeSejos. A change has come over him. He is abruptly less open, holding himself more still. Rex, if someone had questions about what happened at Ritorna, would you answer them? I say nothing. I know by now that the silence will make him talk more. Only, there's a colleague of mine who might... He shakes his head. I think he had a lot of questions prepared before he came here. I think he had a plan of how this was going to go. It is a plan that has not survived contact with me. I want to speak with Honey, I tell him. Honey? Oh, the bear form from your squad? Yes. Well, I don't think that's going to be possible. She's in... More looking at the tablet, and now he is more confused. Actually, I don't know. There's no record here. I'll chase that up. But there are only your regular dog bioforms held locally. I call out on my channel, but I am calling into a great silence. No honey, no dragon, no bees. There is no heart and no master. There is nobody at all except the lawyer and the guards and all the other angry, miserable dogs. They want to destroy us, I think. Right then, I cannot see any other future.